Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing his column at Real Clear Politics about what we know so far of the deal put on the table to the Hamas Gazans holding hostages and to the wider region watching the conflict for peace or more war. What we know is moving story, so I begin with the Hamas piece, because those are the warfighters and the gangsters and the people who hold the hostages. They're at the center of this debate now for 2 years, less a day. Peter, a very good evening to you. Hamas must surrender the hostages, living and dead, must surrender its weapons. That appears to be written in stone in the deal. The Arab chieftains, notably Riyadh and Doha, have signed on. The allies in Europe, of course, have nodded yes. All the Muslim states, including Indonesia, I believe, and perhaps Turkey as well, have signed on. This is a big positive, and it looks like a victory. But it begins with the hostages being surrendered and Mr. Netanyahu making concessions. How do you measure this story with Hamas? Will they give up their weapons? Will they surrender the hostages? And are they not integrated into the larger threat, which is the Muslim Brothers? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, these are the great questions on the table right now. It's astonishing. I think that we've gotten this far, that President Trump has secured not only the agreement of Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, but as you mentioned, eight Arab and Muslim countries for a 20-point plan, which calls for the immediate ceasefire, and then within 72 hours, the release of all of the Israeli hostages, now about 50, living and dead. They think that no more than 20 are alive. This would represent an important step toward victory for Israel, since releasing of the hostages is a crucial part of its war aim, Israel's war aim. And it represents another kind of victory for Israel in that, as we've mentioned, the Arab and Muslim countries have endorsed this requirement for Hamas, the release of the hostages in Israeli war aim. And they've endorsed a second requirement for Hamas, which is a second crucial Israeli war aim, the disarming of Hamas. Were that to happen, I emphasize, were that to happen, it would be it would just about complete the principal Israeli war aims, which also include, we should add, the demilitarization of the entire Gaza Strip and the de-radicalization of the population.
The deal, as we understand it, has contribution from Tony Blair, the Prime Minister of former Prime Minister of Israel, of Great Britain, from the President of the United States himself, from all good wishers. At the same time, it involves the Palestinian Authority. And in your new column, that is by far the larger challenge. The Palestinian Authority has not been identified with Gaza for some years, since an armed takeover by Hamas, I believe in 2007. But the Palestinian Authority has questions that need to be answered before it's integrated into any governance of the Gazan peoples after the conflict ends. What are your questions for the Palestinian Authority? What are your hesitations about the Palestinian Authority?
Well, my hesitations about the Palestinian Authority begin with the fact that the Palestinian Authority is corrupt, incompetent, and weak. It lacks, I add to that, it adds democratic legitimacy. President of the PA, Mahmoud Abbas, was elected to a four-year term in 2005. His term expired in 2009. No elections have been held in by the Palestinian Authority since then. One reason they haven't been held is because the PA leadership and Abbas himself, they all know well there were elections to be held in the West Bank today among the Palestinians. Hamas in the West Bank would win. So you have an unpopular regime that is corrupt, weak, and incompetent. Why would you want to give it still more power to help with the extremely dire governance situation in Gaza Strip? So that's the beginnings of the reason to be skeptical that in the near and intermediate term, the PA can play any sort of useful role in Gaza.
In these last days, there have been announcements by major capitals. I'm thinking of London and Ottawa, Canberra in particular, announcing the recognition of a Palestinian state by our allies, by Mr. Starmer, for example, in London. It is quite fantastic to any of us who've traveled in the region that they're recognizing a fiction. It's as if we're dealing with, I don't know, a construction that I've never seen. I have no easy analogy in history to it. However, it has complicated the situation going forward because of the demonstration of a loyalty to a state that doesn't exist, the flag waving, the confrontations, the violence. I won't ask you why they did it. I will ask what your measure is of how Israel can deal with it going forward to recognize a state that does not exist and may never exist given the obstacles ahead.
Yes, I will answer the question you asked, but I first should emphasize that actually this moral grandstanding on the part of heads, political leaders in UK and France and Canada and elsewhere, it's not just neutral. It does positive harm because it sends the message to the proponents of armed struggle among the Palestinians, not just in Hamas, but in the PA as well, sends the message to these proponents of armed struggle that it works, that negotiations are not the way to persuade the West that the Palestinians deserve a state. But if you massacre enough Jews, if you cause enough destruction, then you can persuade them to recognize a state that doesn't exist. Okay, but what should Israel do going forward? Israel has already indicated what it will do going forward by signing on to the Trump peace plan. The last point of the Trump peace plan says that provided the Palestinian Authority can reform itself, this plan anticipates the beginning of a credible pathway toward the discussion of a Palestinian state. In other words, the reform of the PA doesn't automatically become head of some Palestinian state. We don't even begin the serious discussion of a Palestinian state until the Palestinian Authority reform itself. And reform of the Palestinian Authority means, among other things, ceasing incitement of terror against Israel, ceasing the payment of rewards to the families of captured or killed terrorists, cleansing the educational system of anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, anti-American, and anti-Western teachings, and acquiring some competence in the basic tasks of government. This is a long-term enterprise to justify, according to the peace plan, the beginnings of serious discussions about a Palestinian state.
I'm speaking with Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing his column Real Clear Politics. We're looking at what we know right now about the peace deal on the table, not only involving the Gaza conflict, but also involving a larger story of dealing with the Palestinians in the West Bank of Israel and the Palestinians in Jordan and the Palestinians in Lebanon, all of whom are imagining the Palestinian state exists and they'll return to it. When we come back, what Peter has discovered is an essay by a very famous foreign policy commentator, Richard Haas, who headed the Council on Foreign Relations for many years and has had many distinguished posts, imagining what a Palestinian state will look like. Not only that, but also that it would be good for Israel. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.